Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
You control. 603-283-6160 is the phone number. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And I wanted to tell you about our amplifier program. And I'd like to thank CivPack, who's a silver level amplifier with our amplifier program. That means that CivPack gives at least $5 a month to us through the amplifier program at amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And he gets to partake of some perks and benefits of being an amplifier. And also he gives to us to help us keep the show on the air, keep the show running. So thank you so much for that, CivPack. And if you'd like to learn more, listener, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. It stands for Advertise, Market, Promote, and Support.freetalklive.com. And it looks like we have a caller already on the line again. David in New Mexico, bet you didn't think I'd answer you that quickly. What's on your mind?
It's a record. It's a record, Bonnie. That is the record.
I think so, too.
And I have a... go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, but what's on your mind?
A couple things, one main thing. But first of all, I have a new word for you that I think you'll enjoy. I think it's called, I think the captain calls these portabellas or something.
Portmanteaus.
Yeah.
There you go.
Portabella.
Portmanteau mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
Quickly. You were talking about Satanism, and you were talking about the state. How about Satanism?
Satanism.
Apparently... what is his name? You guys have a similar voice. Ernie Hancock, he created Statenism.com. Like, he has the domain name or whatever, Statenism.com. And it's a great one.
Darn it.
Sorry, David. I guess you don't get that one.
Don't worry. I believe you that you hadn't heard it from him and that you made that up yourself, though. I think it's a pretty good one.
It was probably, I hear him from time to time, so he probably said it, and it was probably in the back of my head. And then the fact that you guys were talking about the state and Satan and the state and Satan and the state, and it just came together.
He is on LRN.FM, and he's on the radio during the Free Talk Live slot on Mondays.
Yep.
In case anybody's wondering who the heck we're talking about. Is that all you have for us today, David?
No, I got more, but first of all, who is she?
Who? Oh, Nikki?
What are you talking about? No. The Free Talk Live slot.
No, Ernie Hancock. I don't know.
Freedom Phoenix.
Yeah. It's Declare Your Independence. Freedom Phoenix is his
Yeah,
website?
That's, yeah, the Declare Your Independence.
Got it. Okay. All right.
Yeah, if I said I didn't mean to.
No, that's okay. That's good.
I mean, Ernie is a beautiful name for a woman.
Yeah. Ernest.
Yeah. Ernestine. You guys like secession, so I want to riff on the secession thing and combine it with something you said earlier. But I want to interject also that I would beg to differ. I think that the majority of the people that were here at the founding of this country, and well before the founding of the country for, 50, 100, 150 years, I think that the vast majority of them would consider themselves to be Christians. I also think that, that especially after the founding documents, that they probably, after debate, probably would have allowed a Satanist display if they were also allowing, like Ten Commandment displays, that kind of thing. I think they probably would have allowed that, after they debated it. But you guys are a fan of secession, right?
Yeah,
oh, yeah,
I don't
absolutely.
Think, I don't think we said anything, like, against that. Like, I really don't know. I didn't, like, claim to know that. But in the article, it did have something where, like, a conservative said, the founders would never have allowed this. So maybe that's what you're applying to?
There was two parts there. So one, I think he's wrong. I think that the founders, like I said, after a debate, probably would have allowed it.
I'd agree with that.
I would
agree that they would allow it after some debate. I think there would have been a major discussion. It would have been a contentious discussion for sure.
Right. But the other part of it was something that you guys did say. One of you three had, or more than one of you three had mentioned that the nation wasn't founded as a Christian nation. But I think the people that actually founded it would argue that it actually was, but they weren't disallowing other religions, and that's why they threw in the protection there. Even that, in to paraphrase what I think they were thinking, they were probably thinking something to the effect of, well, you know, we are a Christian nation, but we don't want, like happened in Europe, the state and the church ganging up together on the people and declaring that you must be this religion.
That's entirely possible.
Yeah, I mean, they did reference God in some of their documents, so it's possible. I think exactly what you're saying, that they wouldn't have put, like, the First Amendment the way they did if they intended for other religions to be disallowed.
Right.
Unallowed.
Moving on to the secession thing I want to riff on, you guys are a fan of that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the freedom that secession provides. And so I want to challenge you on something you had said about the Electoral College, and you weren't a fan of it from what you're saying, but I want to argue the other side and see if you'll come my way a little bit. You're a fan of secession, you're a fan of freedom, and you are because, like, if New Hampshire were to secede, then the rest of the states, the rest of the people outside of New Hampshire would less be able to tell you in New Hampshire what to do. Is that kind of it?
That sounds like my position.
Okay. And so the Electoral College, if you study it, analyze it, it helps to actually protect what you say you value, because when the country was founded, it was kind of like secession in reverse. It was like you have these, you know, if you want to call them 13 colonies, 13 states, and they're different peoples. Each one of those was what you want to be if you successfully were able to secede New Hampshire from the Union. They were basically where you want to go. And then they said, hey, you know what? If we combine into this Union, it might help us in this way and this way. We're going to lose a little bit here and here. And that's why when they had all of their convention, or had their convention and their meetings and so on, they went on for however many months or years debating all these things. They were well aware that coming together in a union could lose them some of the freedoms that they were enjoying in their seceded state. They were already seceded from one another because there was no union. And so they argued all these things, and one of the protections, they put in many, many protections so that they wouldn't be totally controlled by the Union. And one of them was the Electoral College, because remember, each one of these colonies, states, they had their own ideas. And, you know, way up north in New Hampshire, you probably had some different values and ideas and things than the people in South Carolina, for instance. And you didn't want the people in South Carolina telling you in New Hampshire what to do. So one of the many ways to protect that was to make an electoral college. So let's say all of a sudden New Hampshire's got a population of 10,006. But for some reason, South Carolina got really popular because, you know, they got nice beaches and warm weather or something. And they all of a sudden they got a population of 1 billion. So now your 10,000 voters won't get to have any say hardly at all. I mean,
David, we already explained this. Like, so I'm sorry, you're just taking a long time to explain what the electoral college is, and
it's long-winded and thorough.
It's okay. I mean, we already explained this on there, and we said, I get why they do it, because it's like now Montana at least has some kind of a say versus New York with way more people, but it's just kind of like, that's just like trying to put a Band-Aid on the crap that is democracy and voting for, like, getting the majority vote to win in a situation like this, which is why we said, like, if you're going to do it, just go fully and do it. And it's like, because either way, we know it's not actually quote unquote fair. It's not really fair for any, like, for 50% of the, or 49% of the country to not want the person who wins to be the president and, well, tough cookies. Like, it's not, that's our whole point. You see what I mean? Like, I understand why they have it the way it is. It's just,
I think it's dumb.
All of it.
So the idea about that, you know, 51% of the people get to tell the other 49% what to do, if it was complete straight democracy without all the checks and balances, that would be true. That's why we're not a democracy. We're a democratic.
But the checks and balances aren't real, though. I think at one point they were, and I understand like why the government was set up the way it was.
I did too. I mean, I've read the Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, and some things like that. But at the same time, it's like, we keep going back to the past to hopefully trying to fix the problem. And the problem is that we're big, there's a lot of people, and we're all spread out, and it's time we try something different.
Yeah, much bigger,
what
only
we're doing
like move
working.
Forward, right? You know
it's much
I mean?
Bigger than it
right,
used to be.
I agree with you, but what I'm trying to say is the checks and balances aren't just the three branches. You know, this one checks that one, and that one checks that one, and they all check each other.
Yeah.
That's not it. The checks and balances that I'm talking about is everything that you do, like when you go Robin Hooding. That's a check and a balance. You're putting a check on the meter maid and the gang that she's working for. That's a check and balance. And what I'm saying is if you beef up all of those checks and balances, you know, if everybody in the, well, I won't say everybody because Bonnie will jump on my case. Mm-hmm. If a lot of more people are, throughout the country would go out robbing, there's a Freudian slip.
Oh, no.
Robin-hooding. I guess the government is the one doing the robbing. But if a lot more people would go out and do Robin-hooding, then it might have a greater effect of people being aware of the thievery that the government is doing toward you in regard to your money. Remember, we were founded not as a democracy, but as a democratic constitutional republic, and it was founded that way on purpose because they were afraid of pure democracy would be mob rule, would truly be 51% telling 49% what they could and couldn't do.
Yeah, I understand that, David, but thank you for the call, and thank you for the, like, getting into all that history and stuff. I mean,
he's making some very fair points.
He is.
You know?
He's making some really good points. I mean, checks and balances are really great in a government system, but...
I think he thought we didn't understand
that
how it worked
said,
when we were
not,
talking
not everyone,
about how it worked.
That,
you know?
That being said, going back to checks and balances, not that being said, with checks and balances, not... all people are going to want to go Robin Hooding or do civil disobedience and do all these things. Most people, in fact, just want to live their lives and forget that they've still got to check and balance the government.
Right, like I shouldn't
and
have
shouldn't
to do that.
It shouldn't just be done in the ballot box either.
It's just like it shouldn't,
yeah,
other
shouldn't
people's
have
decisions,
to do that.
Like people who just want to live their lives, they're okay, then you shouldn't have any say over mine. Like if you don't care about all this stuff, you know what I mean? But I'm moving on. Gigi in South Carolina, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Good evening. Hey, I agree with everybody for a change. It is a refreshing change when David from New Mexico calls with an intelligent contribution of a positive nature. Hallelujah. Now, here is a great civics lesson for all my fellow listeners out there in radio land. As a former political science professor and hardcore board member of the Miami ACLU chapter, never should you see on the steps of any courthouse, state, municipal, small claims, appellate, federal, or other. Any type of religious symbol, whether it's satanic, Jewish, Catholic, Protestant, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, nothing, nothing, nothing. That reinforces separation of church and state. That reinforces checks and balances. You want to celebrate? Celebrate publicly, privately, on public property, or private property.
So,
and
Gigi,
that's my contribution.
Thank you for the contribution. I do have a question for you, Gigi.
Yes, sir.
You've said on the show that you're Jewish. You wouldn't want a Jewish symbol on a government property?
No, sir. Not on the courthouse steps. As a matter of fact, permit me an extra moment to share a personal story just about that.
Sure.
Almost 10 years ago, I got married in a civil ceremony to my husband, who was also Jewish. We were both married in a civil ceremony. We had to go to the Charleston courthouse in downtown Charleston to get our marriage certificate. The judge that my husband clerked for after graduating Howard School of Law in D.C. married us. It was very special to us both because Jeffrey had a wonderful, special, professional, and personal rapport with the judge, and he was the first African-American judge appointed in South Carolina, we don't have judges elected, to the probate and mental health courts. So it was very special to us. When we entered the courthouse, I had only been living in Charleston for about 6 months. Our anniversary is December 30th. What do I see inside the courthouse? Oh, my goodness. I was going, can't flush the potty. You have to speak like a lady. Shall we say, I was going ballistic. And I kept telling my husband, what is all of this? I saw Christmas trees next to each clerk's window. I saw big Christmas trees all decorated by the escalators. So me and my big mouth, I admit wholeheartedly, went up to one of the, I don't know what he was. He looked like an usher in a red sports coat standing by the escalator. I said, why is there so much Christmas symbols all over a public governmental entity? So he said, lady, it's Christmas. What's wrong with you? My husband got nervous and pulled on my dress and said, Gigi, be quiet. Let's go get our certificate. I was livid. And to this day, everybody, all the hosts and everybody listening, I still have a problem with that.
Yeah.
I
don't want to see anything. And you know what? For many years, I worked as a researcher for the Attorney General's Civil Rights Division in the state of Florida when Jeb Bush was governor. And, what was very interesting was that when Charlie Crist took over as governor for one term in Florida as a Republican, he had a mezuzah on his door entering his main office in the state capitol. Not the governor's mansion, but the state capitol building.
It's like those clay things that are closed up.
He was ordered by the ACLU who filed suit, get rid of it. No religious symbols. How do you like that? And I was totally okay with it.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Like, I don't feel like it is the place for any sort of religious symbols. I mean, like, if it was his office, I think that's one thing, but...
Right.
But when you're working for...
Those are my contributions.
Thank you, Gigi.
Yeah, thank you. I'm glad that you're, you know, one of those people who understands it, like it goes both ways.
Gigi's very consistent.
She's very consistent. That's what I like about her. She's such a great caller. She's intelligent. She speaks what she's very good at articulating her points.
Absolutely.
And if we're going to have this discussion about whether a religious icon should be on government property. I would agree with Gigi. Let's have no religion government.
And
no religious
thing,
icon. Or, I have no idea what I'm talking about. But no religious. Yes, exactly. No religious symbolism on any government property whatsoever. Let's not have any religious symbolism.
Yeah, and I think that, like, with the previous article that we were discussing, I mean, that kind of, like, takes care of it.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't, and I think in, like, public places, like, it's nice when, like, the downtown area is kind of, like, decorated for the holiday season. But I think that's different than, like, an actual, like, the state house or the Capitol building, like, an actual government building. I mean, maybe some seasonal decorations. Like, you can, I'm not offended by decorations, but I don't think it should be, like, any sort of religious symbolism. I just don't really think it's the place, because then, we fall back into the trap of, oh, well, everyone needs to be represented, right? So we have Christmas trees and menorahs, and then, yep, we're going to have to put, you know, a big statue of Satan there, too. And then, like, somebody's going to get offended, and I think it's just easier if we just don't. And it's not really the place. If you want to put a Christmas tree, you know, in Keene Central Square, it looks nice, whatever, that's one thing, but... But I think as far as, like, you know, government buildings go, it's like, why is there...
It's kind of...
You know what I mean?
It's
like,
just this...
Yeah.
You're not going to put a statue of Jesus there. Like, it's weird.
It's this eternal, stupid argument that doesn't really get to the actual basis of what we're talking about here. The whole tragedy of the commons. Like, I wouldn't use it for this. How about we just don't steal from each other to create this building where we all have different ideas of what to do there?
Private property really solves this. It's like, and if you don't want to go there, you don't have to go there. But, like, people are being forced to, like, I am forced to go to the town hall to, like, register my car or whatever I'm doing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm forced to go to the courthouse when I'm summoned to court.
Or if you don't have to go there, you're still forced to pay for its maintenance.
Yeah, that, even worse.
Yeah.
Even worse.
Mm-hmm. But, Nikki, you brought in a story.
I did, yeah.
About a kid that got adopted without his dad's consent, which is absolutely crazy.
Yeah, so this is from ABC News. Father fights for baby girl placed for adoption without his knowledge or consent, which is absolutely horrific and terrifying. So this happened in Hillsborough County, Florida.
Let me skip for a second.
Not in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
So standing in his daughter's bedroom, Brandon Martelis tried to fight back tears. So I'm assuming he's being interviewed by the person from ABC and in the nursery that was set up for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard, Martelis said. Sometimes I can come in here and sometimes I can't. Mm-hmm. Martelis's only child is a daughter he has never met. I had books for her, a few toys, tons of clothes. I'm getting ready to give them away because I know they're not going to fit her anymore, Martelis said.
This sounds extremely sad, but we're going to get into it when we come back. 603-283-6160 is the phone number for you to call. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
USA News Update. While world leaders discuss the prospects for peace in Gaza, there is new confirmation about Hamas using a Gaza hospital to house terror cells. An interview with the manager of the recently seized Kamal Adwan Hospital, INID hospital manager Ahmad Hassan Ikalut, details how Hamas kept terrorist leaders as well as rank and file fighting men safe inside a hospital during the height of the battle with Israeli forces in northern Gaza. Senator John Fetterman believes that the perspectives of young voters on Israel-Hamas war are being influenced by TikTok. President Biden's approval rating for his handling of the war is a low 20%. The Pennsylvania Democrat conveyed to CNN that TikTok users may have distorted views of reality that does not accurately reflect the actual situation. Dave Collins, USA News.
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
That you control in 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call in this last segment to get in on the show with us and talk about whatever is on your mind. That's 603-283-6160. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Riley,
and Nikki.
And in the last segment, we had a few calls, and we were talking about religious freedoms and checks and balances in the United States. But we've moved on, and we're talking about this story from ABC, Nikki, you said?
Yep, ABC Action News. So this is a story about a gentleman whose daughter was placed for adoption without his knowledge or consent. And he's currently, this is like the... Like the outline of him being interviewed by a reporter at ABC.
Mm-hmm.
So his daughter will turn 2 in January. Martelise took a picture with his child's mother 2 days before she gave birth. Hands on her, talking to my daughter through her stomach. You know, I was there, I was with her, Martelise said. We had her name picked out and everything. So this guy is like, and then below it shows a picture. The picture in question a couple days before she gave birth.
Or from, like, touching her stomach?
Yeah, yeah. So it looks like there are a couple at this point, and essentially he was completely blindsided by what happened next. So pitchers then turned to panic, Marchalise said. The day before their daughter was born, he texted to ask if she was going to the hospital the next day. She said she thought so. He responded by asking if she was going to come outside when she was going. No response. That doesn't really make sense.
I think what they're trying to say is that she didn't respond to his text on whether she's...
Yeah, but I don't know what they mean by... he responded by asking if she was going to come outside and when she was going. Oh, okay, so he was just asking when she's going to the hospital, okay.
I wonder why I said outside.
Yeah, it was... Yeah, weird, I don't really know exactly what that meant. But then Marchalise said, I was told that my daughter passed away.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
In a court filing... Yeah, this is quite the journey. Then Marchalise... in a court filing, Marchalise said the mother of his child told him the child had died due to sudden infant death syndrome, also known as SIDS.
Hmm.
I couldn't accept it. I needed to see, Marchalise said. I'm going to hospital... And they're calling security on me because I'm here looking for my daughter and I can't find her.
Hmm.
Then nearly 3 weeks after their daughter was born, the mother sent 2 texts to Marchalise. I have her and I got the baby. So this is a big difference from 1 second she's dead and then 1 second sending, oh, I've got her. I have the baby.
It seems like, is this guy possibly, I might get into it, is he kind of like mentally disabled? It seems like... It's a little weird, like, the way he talks and...
Yeah, though, I also think the article's kind of written a little weird, but...
Yeah, but it's, like, it's a little weird. It's, like, I was in love with her, and she's, like, I don't know.
Like, why wouldn't he be at the birth?
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't she want him there?
Where was she?
Maybe they weren't together. The picture kind of made it seem... I mean, he's touching her belly. The picture kind of looks like... I mean, it's not a very good picture, but it looks like they would be a couple. I mean, like, I wouldn't want someone touching me like that if they weren't the father of my child, you know what I mean? I mean, he is obviously the father, but, like, if we weren't in a relationship, maybe, I don't know, it's kind of hard to say. But it seems like they probably aren't in a relationship based on, like, why wouldn't you want him there? Like, that's kind of weird.
And why would you let him about giving it away?
Yeah,
The whole thing is very strange, so...
Does the article get into why the mom gave the child away?
Well, let's find out.
Okay.
That news marks the start of a new nightmare for Marchalise, with him texting her, I want to see my baby. I found out from a CPS lady that there was a baby that was born, a newborn that was still alive, and I reached out to someone that worked for her, the adoption agency that she told me about, Marchalise said. I felt like, okay, well, I'm the father, I'm her dad, I can take a test, I can prove I'm her dad, my daughter's alive. Marchalise is fighting for custody while the child is with prospective adoptive parents through the agency Heart of Adoptions. According to court documents, the day after his baby was born, before he said he even knew it, the mother consented to adoption and named Marchalise as a man who might have interest in the minor child.
Shouldn't that be like, okay, well, then the baby doesn't get to go anywhere until Marchalise says so?
You'd think so, but she didn't list him on the birth certificate.
Mm. Oh, okay.
And,
wow.
This is why I brought this in, because it really just dives into how fathers have no rights. And it's awful, awful. And I think it's worse if you're not married.
Mm-hmm.
So, court documents show the adoption agency said the termination of parental rights was not required because they were not married.
Wow.
He wasn't listed on the birth certificate, was not on the punitive father registry, a little known state registry for fathers to claim paternity, and had not paid a fair and reasonable amount of living and medical expenses in connection with the pregnancy and birth.
So wait, he was on that list or he wasn't?
He wasn't.
Oh.
So you'd think, like, his DNA
would
be enough.
Right.
Like, he's her father. And this is horrifying for any man who is in a situation like this that your children can be stolen from you. If it's just really sad because there's so many cases where women's rights kind of trump men's rights in these senses, especially when it comes to like family court, any sort of like divorce court, parental rights. Like the woman typically is going to get her way.
Yeah, typically.
Even when it's not, even when it doesn't make sense, and even when it's not right. So this just really outlines like how crazy this whole thing is.
I have a friend here in New Hampshire who like has went through that crap with his daughter and his ex-wife and stuff.
Yeah.
And he says, as much as that is true, he has taken a lot less of the, you know, it's like all about fathers don't have rights and mothers can get away. Mm-hmm. Ever since he really got into it, because he was meeting tons and tons and tons of women who the same crap was happening to them. Like, oh, the dad has all the money, so we.
I've seen that happen before. It's like whoever, so it can
just
go
like
both
the problem
ways.
Is the government. You
yes,
know?
Absolutely.
Like,
yeah,
the government
the system
be involved.
Is not is broken. They were trying to ask me. So this is Mark Lee's again. They were trying to ask me if I would that she's going to a great home and all this, and I couldn't hear that. I cut off.
Wow.
I said,
she's going to a great home. What? It's not a freaking hamster.
It's not a dog.
Yeah.
Imagine someone saying this to you about your child. I can't even imagine it.
That's so sad. Yeah.
He said, I cut off. I said, no, she's not. Over my dead body. She's not. Martelise said out of his conversation with Heart of Adoptions. So this is him speaking with the adoption agency. And they're
and
trying to be like...
freaking gross. Like, they know that there is a biological father that's interested in raising the daughter. And they don't care what's like best for the kid.
They're stealing his baby. Like,
that's
it's
crazy.
Insane.
It's for profit, probably.
Probably. So he filed a petition to determine paternity and filled out the registry the same month his daughter was born. So he did it almost immediately. Like once he found out she was alive, he took the steps he needed to get custody. I am willing to do whatever it takes to be given custody of my daughter and be in her life, Martelise wrote in court records. I am willing to pay whatever form or support it costs or takes. Martelise denied he was aware of the mother's adoption plan in May 2021 and denied he provided no financial support during her pregnancy.
Wow.
He stated he didn't maintain contact with the child because the mother and the adoption people, quote unquote, prevented it.
So they're trying to, like, claim that, oh, well, he wasn't in contact with the child.
And it's
when
like, why does he need to pay for her, like, prenatal care?
It's probably some
stupid. You know what I mean? Like, what is that? But it's like, that's probably all coming through insurance. Like, what is he required to pay for? The I-team contacted the attorney for the adoption agency who said Mr. Martelise was afforded every right he was entitled to under the law and that the court simply reached a decision that Mr. Martelise disagrees with. So according to them, you know, family court just... didn't rule in his favor. I understand there's people that might not be able to have kids and they might need kids, but they can have ones that people are not able to take care of. I can take care of my baby, Martelise said.
Yeah, that is crazy.
Yeah. David Hurwitz, Martelise's attorney, said it's a fight with the law that favors adoption agencies. It's very difficult to navigate it, and it's hard to fight against it. It needs reform. It's just insane to me that the adoption agency has more rights than this biological father.
Seriously.
Like, that is insane.
Yeah, it's really insane.
What's the point of adoption agencies if they're taking kids away from their parents instead of just giving to the couples who need kids? That's child trafficking. That's straight up so obvious child trafficking.
And it's insane because the mother wanted to put the baby up for adoption, and so it's basically like her right as a parent trumped his.
Mm-hmm.
It's just insane.
It's like, you don't have to take care of it, lady. Like, you could just give it to the dad. Like, why I don't really get why her problem
is. Or better yet, just use birth control or something.
Yeah, that's the other thing. It's like, it was a little dumb for him. You know, I hate to say, like, dumb. But, like, maybe he should have realized that, like, if you're not married to this lady, you shouldn't be trying to have a kid with her because they have all the rights.
I mean, accidents happen.
Sure. Yeah, but, I don't know. He didn't set himself up for not this happening, and I'm not like blaming him, but I'm saying that
it was a poor mate selection.
Yeah, a lot of people make stupid decisions when it comes to kids. I think it's weird to be so careless about it.
Yeah, it is.
Like, I've always had that in the forefront of my mind while dating. Like, I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that there's no way I'm getting pregnant, because I don't want a kid right now, you know, at any point in time, like, not right this second. And if I were to get pregnant, would this be, like, a good person to have a kid with?
I would honestly never have sex with someone that I didn't feel comfortable, like, having a child with. Yeah. Even in cases, like, when I was a teenager and I was, like, not ready, you know, obviously, like, at that point I was, like, using forms of contraception, like, I was practicing safe sex, so I didn't get pregnant when I was, you know, not ready for it. But even, like, all of my boyfriends, it was, like, I was, like, if I get you know what I mean? Like, I was never in a position where, I wouldn't just, like, carelessly have sex with someone who I would think would be a bad father. So.
Yeah, and, like, I've definitely made terrible judgment calls in that case, as in, like, guys I've dated actually ended up sucking, but a lot of times guys will, like, trick you that they aren't the person they are until a few months later or whatever.
So this is where I would disagree with Nikki on this, and we have different preferences. You know, for me, sex is a connecting act, and I would only have sex with someone I really care about, and so that's where I would disagree with you. I mean, I wouldn't look at them and say, oh, are they going to make a great mother? I'm looking at them, do I really care about this person enough to sleep with them?
Yeah. I mean, I think I would like that as well.
Okay.
But I think especially like being a woman where it's like, yeah, you might get, I mean like, and obviously like being a man as well, you have to think like practicing safe sex, like I don't want to get this person pregnant.
Right.
So.
Retract the cycle, get a vasectomy, things like that.
Yeah. Use condoms. I mean, there's so many forms of contraception, but yeah. I mean, and accidents happen, like, whatever, people have one-night stands, you get drunk at the bar, accidentally get pregnant, like, things happen. But, yeah, I think I see a lot of poor mate selection. I saw this Twitter post. I'm assuming it was it seemed like she was serious. And she looked like the type of girl to seriously say this, but it was a post that said, man, I wish we could pick our baby daddies.
What?
And it's like, you can't. Like,
wait, that was a tweet you said?
Yeah, it was a tweet. it was like some like ghetto person obviously tweeting that. But
that's
it was
so
like
stupid.
Don't get pregnant.
What was she thinking when she wrote that? Like it sounds like
It was just like very common to accidentally get pregnant, and it's like, oh, I wish I could have chose this person, and it's like, well, you chose to have sex with them.
Yeah.
Like unprotected sex.
I'm just
so like you
in utter shock.
And yeah, it's like
it makes it sound like she's like in some housemaid's what's it called?
Handmaid's Tale.
Such a, I wish we could pick our baby daddy. Like,
yeah,
what?
It's like you can. You did.
Technically did.
But yeah, so I just think of stuff like that where people are just like so low IQ where it's like, oh my gosh.
I think it has to come down to proper sex education. Like, I don't think a lot of Americans have good sex education. I know I didn't get really good sex education as a kid.
The abstinence, that doesn't work.
You know, abstinence, you can't have sex until you're married. Well, we're human, we're going to explore stuff like this. And so it's like,
my grandma, this was obviously in the 60s, because my dad was born in early 1970. She was 16, and she told her boyfriend, who ended up being my grandpa, that she was 18, and she got pregnant, and they had to run away to a different state. But she told me, like, straight up, she was not joking she was being serious. She told me that whenever she got pregnant, she was telling her baby daddy, my grandpa, he was like, I don't know. She said something along the lines of, she was like, I didn't know this could happen. He was like, what? Do you think men have a button on them they can press? And she was like, wait, you do? Like, she thought that was serious.
She just didn't know. Yeah.
She had no idea that
the
there was, like, such
people,
a risk.
People need to be educated about safe sex. If you're going to have sex with somebody, make sure it's someone you care about.
And, like, responsibilities,
too. Yeah, be responsible for your body. Be responsible for your body.
I think there's, like, so much lack of responsibility in just, like, in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I know girls who are like essentially using abortion as a form of birth control.
Oh my God.
And it's like, girlfriend, like just that,
that's bad.
One, it's like,
you.
Okay, like there's physically. Moral, there's a moral side to it.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's also like physically, like for your body, like yeah. that is so bad for your body. Like it's so unhealthy for
like
you.
Do over yeah. and over again.
And it's like, you might as well just get on the birth, like, there yeah. are, you know,
birth
like...
birth control is less bad for you, as bad as I think
you
can.
Absolutely, and it's like most people that qualify for, like, any sort of health insurance, it's like that's
yeah.
usually...
And
covered
like
within your health
month.
Insurance. Yeah, or like not that expensive. A lot cheaper than a kid insurance. Or an abortion.
Right.
I mean, an abortion
right.
is like $500 with insurance, I'm pretty sure.
Whoa. That's actually cheaper than I would have thought.
I think that's like what people pay if they have insurance. I mean, obviously it depends, like, if you have insurance and all of those things. And
abortion is about the same price as, like, lip injections.
Huh.
Yeah, well, I think that's why it's so, like, people are so careless with it. It's like, you know... Yeah, it's just, it's really, it's really eye-opening. But this article goes on to say, earlier this year, the I-Team shared the story of Ulysses Carwise, a father whose story is shared by others but rarely told because the cases are not public. Carwise is still fighting for his daughter more than 5 years after she was born and signed over to an adoption agency without his knowledge or consent. Carwise's story inspired other Tampa Bay area fathers to contact the I-Team, saying they, too, are in an uphill battle to establish parental rights. In October, a judge decided because Martelise had not provided any financial or medical support since the child's birth, he wasn't given an opportunity.
No.
Consent was not required to move forward with an adoption.
What the heck does
that even
mean? Like, in a day? And
yeah.
then, like, without any... He already bought stuff for the baby.
Yeah,
so
like,
he technically
what
did.
Financial support. And it's like, in a world where your insurance pays for everything, what financial support is required?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not... I just don't know what they
mean. And, like,
mean.
Did she ask?
Maybe.
She didn't ask if she was planning on just telling him that the baby died.
I mean, that's insane. And to lie about that, it's like, yeah.
She obviously is like, something's wrong with her. So this just makes me think, like, these are some people with, like, mental problems.
They looked, I hate to say this because I don't like to be judgmental, but in the photo, they looked pretty ghetto. Like, she looked like, I don't know.
Trash.
To even do this, like, this is a bad thing to do.
It's not that bad to say that somebody looked trashy because there are, like, there are things that people do in a society to look not trashy. And, like, if you're not doing that, brushing your hair, you know, stuff like
yeah.
that. Like, I don't know. Then
so,
you can't really control what other people say.
You so this I mean? Is Martelise continuing. She should be here in this house, Martelise said. I'm the one who can love her. No one can do that like I can.
Hmm.
So, and he's not giving up this fight, which I really commend him for. I mean, this is horrific. Like, this is so sad.
It is a little, it's definitely really sad that this is happening. And
yeah. And it happens.
Hopefully has a good end.
Clearly yeah. to more than this guy.
Yeah.
Attorneys told the I-Team the window of time to appeal the case has closed. Martelise maintains he will continue fighting for his daughter. There's a lot of fathers out there that are being robbed, that are good dads, that are great dads. Something needs to be done about this. We need some help. So if anybody can hear us, we need some help, Martelise says. So he's basically like pleading to the world, to anyone who can. It's just sad.
Really glad
because obviously, like, this guy has limited resources. Like, he hired an attorney, but it's like, he can't, like, campaign and change laws. Like, he can
right.
try, but it's like, one person can only do so much, and I'm
like,
so glad that ABC is, like, bringing light to this.
Right, and this is kind of an example of, like, when I was saying I don't care for the whole rhetoric around, like, oh, well, shootings, you know, police violence, like, it affects black people more than other people. I don't care for that anymore, like, that type of rhetoric anymore, because it's, like, that's just kind of, like, putting down, like, the importance of, like, white people being also abused by police. And this is an exact example of the same exact principle. Like, because people are always so worried about, like, women's rights, well, sometimes when things like this happen to men, nobody cares. Like, there's
yeah.
not as many people listening as, like, if this story was about a woman getting her baby taken away.
And I think and we see that with like male suicide rates and depression and stuff like that. It's like men actually commit suicide successfully more than women, like the rate, I don't know the exact percentage, but men are more likely to be successful. But you don't hear about it as much. It's more like you hear about the feminine issues more, especially when it comes to like mental health, parental rights, stuff like that. There isn't always a lot of light shown on a lot of the male struggles. And it is really, you know, like you hear about a lot of deadbeat baby daddies, but you don't always hear about a man who is fighting custody for his child for years. Yeah. And then there was another guy, 5 years. His daughter was 5 years old. It's crazy.
It is a little crazy. And fathers should have as much rights as mothers, I think.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, it's half of his DNA at the end of the day. Like, that is half his child. I think to a certain extent, like, as far as, like, the birth process goes, like, the woman is the one that's giving birth. So I think she should call the shots as far as, like, her, like, prenatal care and her, like, birth care. But as far as parenting, I mean, it's insane to say that a father doesn't have a right over his own child if he doesn't want it put up for adoption.
Yeah, like, the baby was out of her body at that
point. Just because they weren't married and because she didn't list him on the birth certificate.
It's just a bunch of like
she lied
government stuff
to him. You know? I mean, he had the text messages saying like where she said her daughter died. Like, that's insane. The whole thing is completely insane.
This is another example of like the government. It doesn't have common sense, obviously. Like, it can't utilize common sense. It just checks boxes. Like, did you give financially to the baby since it was born? It was taken away from me and lied about. And I have this text that you didn't give financial support.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. And imagine being the adoptive parents, knowing that the father is out there.
Yeah,
the biological father knowing that he wants his daughter, and imagine like being in the way of that. Like, there are so many children who don't have loving fathers.
Oh,
there's so many children in foster care right now that need a family, and you're gonna choose one that has a family that wants to love it. Like, it just doesn't.
Oh, Skeeter. Sorry, Skeeter. I see you're on hold, but it looks like it's the end of the show.
Oh,
so
no.
So you're gonna have to call back tomorrow, Skeeter. It's been Free Talk Live. You can go to freetalklive.com for more, and go check out all our socials from there. Thanks for listening. We'll be back tomorrow. Peace.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.